Happy New Year to each one of you. It's wonderful to have crossed by God's grace into another year. Let us attend to the Word of God once more as recorded in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. We're going to read the first 11 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 up to 11. If you are one of those who love titles, so the title of this sermon is A New Year's Aid to Resolutions. A New Year's Aid to Resolutions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, the Bible reads, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." We are going to focus our attention on verse 11 and the first part of verse 11. The Bible says once again, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Friends, we are once again in a period of the year when we make resolutions. You could be in the process of making a resolution or resolutions. Or perhaps you've already done that. You've already made your resolutions for 2023. Or maybe because of your frustrations, looking back at the years gone by, you've made so many resolutions which you've not managed to keep. Just perhaps around February, March, April, you have given up out of frustration, and you've even decided to forget about making any resolutions. Friend, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11a, provides a solution regarding resolution making. It is knowing the terror of the Lord. The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians was prompted by news from some people in Corinth who are saying that the Apostle Paul was not a true apostle. And therefore, he decided to write this letter in AD 55 to deal with those accusations. The real watchword for 2 Corinthians is that we must be loyal to Christ, not to human personalities, but to Christ. Hence the emphasis on knowing the terror of fear of God. Our focus will be the first part of 2 Corinthians 5:11a. As I mentioned earlier on, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. This afternoon, God willing, we shall look at the second part. We persuade men. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. In expounding the first part of 2 Corinthians 5:11a, knowing the terror of God, we shall do so by answering three questions, dear friends. Firstly, what is the Lord's terror? What is the Lord's terror? Secondly, how can a person know the terror of the Lord? How can you know the terror of the Lord? And thirdly, what are the implications of knowing the terror of the Lord? In other words, what results must come out from you knowing the terror of the Lord? And with that, we are going to conclude. We begin then with the question, what is the Lord's terror? What is the terror of the Lord? Friends, the terror of the Lord comes from a Greek root word, which means to put in fear or alarm or flight. You are caused by something external of yourself to be put in fear. The terror of the Lord also means godly fear or reverence, which makes you to shrink because of reverence. Or it causes you to flee or run away from whatever would displease this God. The terror of the Lord, therefore, has two aspects to it. Firstly, it is the fear of the Lord by which is meant the grace implanted in the hearts of believers, and in this case, in the hearts of the apostles, by which they faithfully acted their ministry. They engaged upon it with great passion, because the fear of God was always before their eyes, and it was always in their hearts. So this fear of the Lord, which was always before their eyes and in their hearts, made them to save God, to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ. The second aspect of the terror of the Lord is the last judgment, which will be very, very awful. And we read this, dear friends, in verse 10 of our main text. This judgment will be very, very great for a number of reasons. Firstly, all mankind will be summoned for that judgment. Each one of us here, and those of you who are listening in through social media, each one of us will be summoned. For that judgment. But also, the sudden appearance of the judge who make this judgment awesome, awful. He will appear suddenly, without any warning. He could appear this year. We don't know, dear friends. But he will appear suddenly. There will also be the opening of books where everything that you will have done while in this world will be recorded. Your actions, your thoughts, your words, your feelings, your motives, everything is being recorded, dear friends. You have a book. And that book will be opened that day. You cannot deny. You will not deny what will be recorded there. But also, dear friends, what makes this judgment dreadful is because of the pronounced the pronunciation on the unbelievers, the unconverted, and its immediate execution in terms of them being condemned forever in the lake of fire. God will pronounce that. And it will be irreversible. You cannot corrupt God. You cannot change things. Lastly, but not the least, the appearance of Christ, the judge, will be so surprising and glorious and overwhelming that many believers will prefer to have mountains and rocks to fall on them and crush them to death rather than face this judge. We read that, dear friends, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 16. Let me quote it. The Bible says, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man," this sums up the whole humanity. "Every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us! Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" Friends, you and me have chosen to focus and emphasize on certain attributes, on certain characteristics of God, which we think are acceptable to ourselves. Such as God is love. God is gracious, is merciful, is kind, is good. But we have deliberately ignored the other attributes of God. That is a God of justice. That he is holy. And because he is holy, he must react in wrath against every sin and every sinner. Friends, God's attributes or characteristics are about his character. His character is one entity which incorporates all his attributes at all times and at any given point in time. None of these attributes are absent from him at any given point in time. Meaning, therefore, that is, God who is holy all the time. He is just all the time. And is a God of wrath all the time. But as human beings, we have deliberately chosen to ignore those attributes of God that don't make us comfortable. Let's move on to our second question. How can a person know the Lord's terror, the terror of the Lord. How can you know? How can I know the terror of the Lord? Knowing the terror of the Lord starts with being born again. You cannot know the terror of the Lord without being born again, without being a child of God. Without God, dear friends, waking upon your stony heart, He needs to begin by cleansing you from all your sins, from all your idols. Because by nature, you are at enmity with God from the time of your conception in your mother's womb. God's wrath has been resting upon you. Because God hates sin, He is holy. But also He must deal with that stony heart. He must remove it from you. He must give you a heart of flesh. He must put His Holy Spirit inside you and give you the power to obey the commandments of God, to follow His statutes, to follow His decrees. You cannot live the Christian life without that supernatural power. You cannot fear the Lord without having that new heart, without having the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit inside you, who must remind you constantly that you must be holy, and He must restrain you from evil, from that which is wicked. Friends, just last week, on the Lord's Day, we were thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And you must believe in this coming Christ, the Christ who came. But He came because of you. Because of your rebellion. Because you have failed to obey God's commandments. And have invited God's wrath upon yourself. And He came to live a perfect life. He came to do that which you failed to do. Because of your sin, you are supposed to be judged, to be punished, to be condemned, to be thrown into the lake of fire and languish there for eternity. Christ came to take your place of punishment, your place of judgment on the cross. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. Jesus had to die in your stead. The wages of sin is death. Jesus had to pay for that in your stead. He became sin, the Bible says. Him who knew no sin, so that in Him you might become the righteousness of God. But you cannot assume that because Jesus died on the cross, you will automatically be saved. No! You have to deliberately acknowledge His work on the cross in this life, that it was for you. That He acquired obedience by obeying the law, by doing all things well. And when you believe in Him, that obedience will be
credited to your account. That righteousness will be given to you. There has to be a day, there has to be a time when you must deliberately bring yourself to God and plead for mercy. The year gone by, perhaps you kept on postponing, you kept on pushing it forward and forward and forward. Friend, time's running out. Time is running out. You don't have your life in your hands. But God has. You have to do it speedily this year. Once you have experienced God's new birth upon your soul, it will automatically come with the terror of the Lord, with the fear of God. This will be implanted in your heart, in your soul, automatically. You have a consciousness that you never had in terms of sin. The things that you've been doing, which to you look normal, that won't be the case anymore. You'll be able to see sin for what it is. You'll be able to be conscious of the need for you to live for God, to obey Him in everything. The fear of the Lord will rule your heart. You begin to revere God, to respect God, to honor God. The fear of the Lord, once it has come upon you, it needs to grow. It needs to increase with the time. Ordinarily, each one of us who is a Christian, we are supposed to be more conscious of the fear of the Lord now than was the case some years ago. My friend, do you know the fear of God? Do you have the fear of the Lord in your soul, in your heart? Are you conscious of God's presence? My dear Christian friends, are you growing in the fear of God? Is it increasing? Dear friends, the fear of God, the terror of the Lord, is something that must be experienced. Our text, the Apostle Paul says, knowing. He doesn't say knowing about, but he says knowing the fear of God is something that you must experience at a personal level. The Apostle Paul and his colleagues, his fellow laborers, experienced it at a personal level. Hence, I could say, knowing the fear of the Lord and not knowing about the fear of the Lord? Are you able to say that, my friend? Are you able to say that with a clear conscience? Without your heart condemning you. Your conscience condemning you. If not, dear friend, you have the opportunity to know this fear of God. By abandoning your sin, by believing in Christ. Friends, we have dealt with the first two questions so far. Firstly, what is the terror of the Lord? Secondly, how can a person know the terror of the Lord? We'll now deal with the last question, which will also be our conclusion. What are the results of knowing the terror of the Lord? What are we saying here? We are saying this. It is impossible to know the terror of the Lord and be unaffected and remain indifferent. No, dear friend. Whoever knows the terror of the Lord, it must show. It must manifest itself in your daily living. As was the case with the Apostle Paul and his friends. So what are the results of knowing the terror of the Lord? Firstly, dear friends, knowing the terror of the Lord is synonymous with the consciousness of God's nearness. What are we saying? We are saying this. That a person who knows what it means to fear the Lord will inevitably be conscious of the presence of God. You know something about God's felt presence. Dear friends, this should be our aim throughout this year and beyond. Let us make it our passion, our desire, our yearning, our longing, our aim in 2023. To know the fear of the Lord. Consequently, knowing the terror of the Lord must necessarily restrain you from going against the law of God, from going against the commandments of God, from going against the will of God. In other words, it must restrain you from sinning. If you are not a Christian and you are hearing or you are within the reach of my voice, you've struggled to stop certain sins. You've made tons upon tons of resolutions, but to no avail. The reason, dear friends, or dear friend, is this. You don't know the fear of the Lord. If you knew the fear of the Lord, it doesn't matter where you would be. You would make sure that your life is in conformity with the word of God. Whether you are among those people that know you or those people who don't know you, you would make sure that whatever you do is honoring to God, pleasing to God. Because you'll be conscious of His presence. Because you'll be aware that God is here. God is seeing me. God is with me. Knowing the fear of the Lord will make you to run away from whatever displeases God. The second point is this. Knowing the fear of the Lord will help you to make God your first or number one priority in life in this year 2023 and beyond. You ensure that pleasing God is your number one objective, your number one aim, your number one desire at all times and in every aspect of your being. Whether in your deeds, your thoughts, your feelings, your motives, or your speech, you make sure that you please God. As the Apostle Paul says in our text, verse 9, that whether we are in this body, this tent, or away from it, we make it our aim to please God. The next point that I want to bring out by way of application and as we conclude. The fear of the Lord will cause you to engage in a passionate service for God. Whatever you do, you work at it with all your heart, conscious of the fact that you must give an account one of these days before the judgment seat of Christ for everything you have done in the body, whether good or bad. Therefore, whatever you touch, you'll be wholehearted in applying yourself. You have your eye on the glory of God. You will not be concerned about who is washing. What are they saying about me? But your desire will be to serve God with the wholehearted devotion. And do not sit on your spiritual gifts. You not sit on the abilities that God has given you to advance the cause of Christ. You not hold back the resources that are supposed to be used in the kingdom of God. Its expansion. You will be wholehearted in serving God. Friends, the fear of the Lord will cause you to live a godly life, will cause you to live a holy life. So if you look at your life and you've been struggling with the matter of godliness, with the matter of holiness, it simply means that the fear of the Lord is not deeply rooted in you. That you need to cultivate the fear of the Lord for you to be godly, for you to be holy, for you to be righteous. Dear friends, won't this be your aim, your desire, your passion, your resolution, if you are in the habit of making resolutions in this year, 2023 and beyond? The last point, dear friends, the fear of the Lord will drive you to evangelism. It will drive you to persuade men that they should flee from the coming wrath, the wrath of the Lamb. You will not be at ease. It will wound your conscience to see other believers living carelessly before God. So you'll be moved to persuade men, to evangelize them, to preach the gospel to them. This, dear friends, is what we'll be looking at, God willing, this evening. Persuading men, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen.